This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can listen to our radio show on Pacifica stations nationwide and watch our TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump seemingly can't nominate anyone in his cabinet who's actually qualified for the job. His choice of labor secretary is no exception. Fast food CEO Andy Puzder will sit through confirmation hearings at the Senate in a few days. Puzder is distinguished by his singular aversion to labor rights. According to the organization Fight for 15, quote, cashiers and cooks at Puzder's restaurants announced 33 complaints filed with state and federal agencies. Puzder faces charges of not paying his workers, forcing them onto public assistance programs, refusing to entertain even modest pay raises, and ignoring sexual harassment claims. My guest is Rontel Beatty. He is a federal advocate with the National Employment Law Project. Welcome to the program, Rontel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, for those people who aren't in the know, give us a broader overview of who Andy Puzder is. Could there be somebody even less qualified than him for the position of labor secretary?
Well, what we know about Mr. Puzder is that, you know, he served as, you know, CEO of CKE Restaurants, which we know manages the fast food chains Hardee's and Carl's Jr. And I think to put the conversation into context, you know, he's being nominated for the Secretary of a Labor position. And the mission of the Department of Labor is to foster, promote, and develop the welfare of the wage earner, job seekers, and retirees of the United States. He'll also be charged with improving working conditions, advancing opportunities for profitable employment. And what we know about Mr. Puzner's record as CEO of CKE is that he has stood against everything that the mission of the Department of Labor stands for. We know he's against raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. He's against paying overtime to workers who make, you know, less than, you know, $47,000 a year. We know that he's against paying medical leave, paid leave, vacation leave. So, you know, when you think about someone that's going to be charged with being a chief advocate on behalf of the wage earner, being in charge of a department that is supposed to protect people from the very things that he has perpetuated as a CEO. It's kind of troubling.
What about these claims and these charges and complaints that workers have filed against him? I mean, this isn't just a poor reputation that he enjoys. It's actually documented, the slew of complaints against his company by workers, including ignoring sexual harassment claims. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, wouldn't he as labor secretary be, you know, have a serious conflict of interest?
Yes, I mean, Department of Labor is charged with prosecuting wage and hour violations. It's charged with protecting people from harassment. And what we know about, you know, CKE restaurants under his leadership is that they have been found liable. And, you know, over half of the wage and hour claims that have been labored against them. And the same goes for their health and safety violations. So it's kind of hard to see how he can protect people when he's been a perpetrator of these things, you know, as a CEO.
And of course, I suppose we shouldn't be terribly surprised given our own commander-in-chief has refused to divest from his myriad business holdings while continuing to be president, you know, making it very easy for heads of state around the world to curry favor with him by doing business with him. I mean, wouldn't Andy Puzder be in a similar position, or has he made any statement saying that he would step down from his position or any business ties to corporations if he were to be nominated and win confirmation as labor secretary?
You know, I'm not aware of any statements made by Mr. Puzner, you know, in that regard. The only thing that we know and that we can go off of is based off of his record, as well as public statements that he's made. You know, as we know, he's a very outspoken, you know, person when it comes to giving interviews and writing opinion editorials on a lot of, you know, business practices. And we know that his business model has thrived off of a model of paying workers low wages and no benefits. And we have no reason to believe at this point that he will change his stance on any of these things as the Secretary of Labor.
I understand that he has actually openly talked about his own employees. Members of Fight for 15 have organized protests, and they've put on their protest signs some of the things that he said, including calling his workers the worst of the worst. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we, you know, heard the Bush administration say about Guantanamo detainees.
Right. And I think, you know, to take it a step further, you know, he's also talked about replacing his workers with robots. You know, there's a quote we all know going around where, you know, he's basically saying that, you know, robots never call in sick. You know, they never they always upsell. They're always polite. You won't be found liable for any, you know, discrimination lawsuits with robots. So I think that says a lot about what he feels about, you know, the average workers. And, you know, even when you're talking about the ones that work for him, you know, he'd rather replace them with robots. And, you know, when you think about, you know, nominating him to a position where he actually has to create jobs, you know, as a CEO, he's already killing them and replacing real people with real needs with robots.
Now, his nomination by Trump comes on the heels of several years of very powerful and active protests around the country by specifically fast food workers, right? The Fight for 15 group that I cited organized protests nationwide. We've covered them on our program before. Fast food workers specifically have been using their voices and risking retaliation to speak out about the poor conditions they face. Now we have a potential CEO in the fast food industry that could be leading the Labor Department.
Right. I mean, you know, the fast food sector in general, you know, it's one of the lowest paid sectors nationwide. You know, the average worker earns $9.09 an hour, which, you know, equates to less than $19,000 a year. Over 87% of those workers, you know, report not receiving any employer-sponsored benefits. So, yeah, to your point, it's hard to see how he can be an advocate of these workers when, you know, for the last decade, he's been a part of the problem.
And in fact, a lot of those workers in taking these political actions have faced retaliation. I understand that among the complaints facing Puzder from his franchises that he oversees are also claims of retaliation for people who speak out about their rights in the workplace.
Yes, we've heard those reports as well. And, you know, it's very troubling because as Secretary of Labor, he would essentially have to, you know, reverse the role that he's typically played in this situation. He has to go from being a perpetrator to a protector. And, you know, based upon what we've seen, we have serious concerns about not only his ability to do that, but his willingness to do that.
I mean, he's supposed to be the nation's top advocate for labor, for workers, right? I mean, how can he be an advocate for labor if he himself is on the other side of a large group of workers? I mean, he's not just the owner of a single franchise. He oversees a vast empire of fast food franchises. He's a big deal on the other side of the employment line in this industry.
Everything about Mr. Puzder says that he prefers profits over people. He's more concerned with increasing the bottom line of the fast food industry than he is on, you know, being an advocate of the workers that work within that industry. So, you know, to your point and to the point of, you know, workers, you know, across, you know, the world who've been speaking out about this and to the organizations that have been advocating on their behalf, you know, we're not confident that him becoming the Secretary of Labor will, you know, change the way that he feels about the average worker.
Now, labor as a whole, organized labor, I should say, unions and organized labor, many have, particularly the biggest unions, have thrown their weight behind the Democratic Party in recent years, seeing that party as being more favorable to their issues and views in the coming days when Mr. Puzder faces Senate confirmation hearings, how do you think Democrats should or will end up voting? Sadly, we've seen in other cabinet positions, Democrats kind of roll over for many of the Trump appointees who are just as unqualified for their positions as Puzder is for his.
Well, I think, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent, I think there's a couple things that we all need to acknowledge. And that's that, you know, over the last 8 years, we had a Labor Department that actually cared about the wage earner. You know, over the last 8 years, we saw the passage of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, which, you know, allowed women to recover, you know, lost wages as a result of being discriminated against in the workplace. You know, we saw, you know, many actions to increase minimum wage and overtime protection for workers. We saw a National Equal Pay Task Force created to, you know, hold violators of equal pay laws accountable. And I think that, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent or you're an advocate or you're a worker, I think that one thing that we can all find common ground on is that we cannot afford to go backwards.
And even before Andy Puzder takes the helm of the department, if he is confirmed, there are troubling signs. Senator Elizabeth Warren on Friday basically discovered that a website hosted by the U.S. Department of Labor online that was designed to help Wells Fargo workers file whistleblower complaints has been taken down since Donald Trump became president. So she's questioning the administration around that. The former Labor Secretary, Thomas Perez, created that special website in September, shortly after Wells Fargo was ordered to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and restitution to consumers. And so right there, I mean, it seems as though they're trying to, this new Republican administration is trying to make a very clean ideological break with the previous one. Terrible as the Democrats have been on labor, they don't go this far, it seems.
Yeah, and I think it it sends a very disheartening message to, you know, to all of us that, you know, providing protections to, you know, whistleblowers or folks who may have the courage to come forward and talk about some of the violations or the harassment or discrimination they face on a daily, it sends a message that, you know, they won't be protected in doing so. And I think that's very disheartening, especially coming out of the Department of Labor, a department that was created specifically for that purpose, to protect the worker. I think it's very contradictory in nature to the, you know, the mission of the department. And I think that, you know, from a historical context, I think that it's just not really aligned with why the department was created in the first place.
And Rontel, this is such an important issue nationally because, you know, the election of Donald Trump was seen as a referendum on economic struggles in this nation. I mean, there are far too many Americans still not earning enough money to live on, far too many Americans struggling just to get by. Whether you're talking about rural Americans or urban Americans, you know, people in cities or in rural areas, it doesn't matter. White or non-white workers, you've seen on the bottom rung of our society real suffering. How is a labor department under somebody like Andy Puzder supposed to, you know, safeguard jobs when jobs has been a central issue for Donald Trump? And I'm wondering if you think Trump supporters will see this contradiction.
You know, I certainly hope so. And, you know, I think that, you know, we all have a responsibility to, you know, continue to hold the Labor Department accountable to ensure that they are continuing to create not only jobs, but meaningful jobs that will allow, you know, folks to sustain themselves and provide for their families. And, you know, I think that it's also our responsibility to ensure that, you know, the Labor Department is, you know, going to be, you know, held accountable by Congress as well to ensure that, you know, once again, that they are not hurting workers, but helping them.
And finally, Rontel, how important in the next few years are those protests by groups like Fight for 15 going to be? I mean, we saw, despite, you know, there being a reluctance on the federal level to raise the federal minimum wage, we saw a lot of states and even municipalities and cities respond to demands for $15 an hour. You know, they staggered it so that $15 will be attained in a few years, but some progress made. primarily, I think, as a result of that grassroots agitation from fast food workers themselves, which is a largely non-white, you know, minority-driven, women-driven movement. It had some success under a Democratic administration. Are these sorts of actions going to be even more important now going forward?
Oh, definitely. It's very important because there's strength in numbers, and it's important that we all continue to come together on what one message on one accord to not only show that there are millions of folks that feel passionately about this issue, but also to educate those who one may not be aware, and then two, you know, to let folks know how important it is that you know, wage earners and, you know, fast food workers, you know, deserve fair opportunities to, you know, make livable wages and to provide for their families. And I think that one of the reasons why we're starting to see states like New York, you know, be successful in, you know, raising the minimum wage is because, you know, folks have come together, you know, under one voice with one common goal. And if we're able to, you know, continue doing that and continue to grow the movement, then I think we'll see the much needed and much desired change on a national scale in years to come.
Well, are there any websites that you recommend for people to find out more, particularly about Andy Puzder and any actions? I'm assuming that the Fight for 15 folks are probably organizing even more multi-city protests in the days to come.
Yes, I would like to direct you to our website. It's www.nelp.org. We have lots of publications surrounding, you know, Mr. Puzner's nomination. We have lots of resources and talking points for anyone who wants to be a part of the movement, you know, around the minimum wage fight, fair chance hiring. So I would encourage folks to start there. And then, you know, in the event that, you know, there's, you know, they have any questions or need any follow-up, you know, they can, you know, reach out to me directly. You know, I can be reached at rbatie@nelp.org. And we'd be happy to speak with anyone about these issues and invite them to be a part of this movement.
Rontel, thank you so much for joining us today and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Again, that website is NELP.org. NELP stands for the National Employment Law Project. And my guest, Rontel Beatty, is a federal advocate with that organization. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.